Ephesians 5:1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. I love that verse. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, and whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to help, dear God, your people tonight. And so please, you know my heart, and you know that there's really not much less left that I want to accomplish when I walk behind the pulpit, except I just want to be a blessing. I want to be a help. I want to strengthen our church, and I want to preach your word. And Lord, as we take the word of God and supply some godly counsel tonight, based on the precept and principles of your word, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us all. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to uncover a way to live. And help us to discover a great formula that you've given us, I think, dear God, so that we can have a wonderful, wonderful holiday time and so that we can successfully learn how to live through the month of December. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. One of the best pieces of advice I've ever received was from a man that at one time was my pastor, and he would tell the congregation this often. He said that we ought to learn to live on purpose. I think you ought to live on purpose. I don't think you wake up and just wander through life and whatever happens to come, comes. I think you ought to live on purpose. I know you can't control everything, but what the things you can control, I think you ought to control, and you ought to live on purpose. The Bible talks about walking circumspectly. Don't wander as a fool, walk as a wise man, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The preacher said this. He said, my former pastor said this. He said, if you have a good day, you ought to stop and ask yourself why you had that good day. He said, boy, today was a good day. Then you ought to stop and say, well, why was it a good day? And maybe you ought to write down what made that such a good day. He said, at the end of a day where you just get done and say, you know, I should have stayed in bed this morning. This is horrible. This is a lousy day. Then he said, wait a minute. Why don't you take a minute and figure out why it was a lousy day? He said, you know what? If you would do that, if we would just learn to learn from success and to learn from failure and glean what we can and change what we can control, he said, you're going to begin to have in your life probably more good days than you have bad days. And I always thought that was such good advice. I would take that broader than just days. I would tell you that I believe that we should redeem the time. You know, life is time and life is a gift and time is precious and we ought to redeem it. We ought to make sure we're getting something out of the life that we're to live. One of the things that I feel like I've studied and I've formulated, I think, is the way to have a good December. I always look forward to the month of December. I think that it's one of the best months of the year for me. But it's not that way by accident. Are you listening? Some of you are just saying, well, you're sure lucky. No, it hadn't to do with luck. I'm 52 years of age. I've got to live through 52 Decembers, my 52nd December. If I haven't learned how to have a good one by now, I'm just not too smart. I mean, how many times do you grab an electric fence before you say, ouch, man, that thing's shocking me. Come on now.
Come on.
Well, I just get every day, my life's lousy, and every day I just stinks, and every day, well, you're not learning much. Okay? Because if every day stinks, you can stop and say, why doesn't? What do I need to do to change it? Okay? And I think that you learn to live on purpose. I think that Christians ought to develop principles in their life that tend to lead to blessing and success. And you ought to then be true to those principles. I think I know how to live December on purpose. Now, you know, since I got up in here and said this, Brother Chad, December's going to be a disaster for me. You know that. But I will tell you, there's things that you can't control. If you can't control them and something happens, then you couldn't control them. But you know what you can control, you ought to control. And what you decisions you ought to make that would make the month a better month for you, you ought to make those decisions. I love December. This month may go faster than any other month of the year. I mean, folks, I promise you, December 1st. First of all, how did this get here so fast? You know, Thanksgiving was a lot later than normal, which means Christmas is going to be on you before you know it. And the year's going to be done. So if we're not careful, we don't usually have a good December just because it's a downhill. You feel like you're skiing downhill, and I mean, it goes faster than any other month. And before you have a chance to really accomplish some things, it's gone. Because you didn't plan, you didn't live on purpose. It's easy to just get whisked away and taken for a holiday ride. Anything you get done must be done on purpose. I'm going to give you some good counsel. I don't counsel a lot. I counsel if people ask me to, and I counsel if they insist that they need the time. And I'm not. I'm glad to be able to do that. If someone truly feels like that they need the counsel, and I feel like that they truly want counsel. They don't want counseling. They want counsel, and are open to accept it. Then I'm glad to take the time. But most of my counseling is done right here. Hey, preacher, do you have time for counseling? Yes, I do. 9:30 on Sunday morning, 10:30 on Sunday morning, 7:00 on Sunday night, and 7:00 on Wednesday night. Now, if you'll come to all of those counseling sessions, then very seldom will you probably need other counseling sessions. And if you do, that's great. That's fine. People go through unique times in your life where, honestly, you need some answers and help, and that's one of the reasons God put a pastor in your life, and that's fine. But I'm saying this. I have a little problem with somebody that wants me to come over here on a Tuesday or a Thursday or a Friday, but they don't come on a Wednesday or a Sunday. If you don't come on Wednesday and Sunday and get what I give to everybody, then why should I come on a Tuesday or a Thursday and take an extra night of my life? You know, when I probably have already said from the pulpit what you need to hear. Amen. It is. Yeah, that's good. That's good preaching, preacher. Amen. Yeah. I told one person, I was having to meet with them so often on marriage counseling, on these off nights, I said, folks, if I have to keep meet with you so often on marriage counseling, I said, I'm going to need marriage counseling because I said, I got a wife sitting at home because you guys can't figure out the basic principles of the Word of God, just how to treat each other decent and be nice to each other. So, anyway, I'm saying all this in hopes that you'll think I'm never going to him for counseling. And most people don't more than once or twice, amen. Because I'm just going to shoot it shotgun straight and tell you the truth. And I mean, I won't be unkind to you, but you know what? If we're going to do the dance and we're going to goof around, you just want, you know, whatever. If you're not there for the right reason, you don't really want help, you don't seriously want help, please, I mean this, don't waste my time. If you want help, I'll be willing to help you. But if you don't really want help, you just need attention or something, then, you know, go, I don't know, you know, join AA or I don't know what to tell you. Do something else, amen. But, amen, God's so good, amen. Trying to help you. I don't want you to become reliant upon your pastor. I want you to become reliant upon God. Okay, I'm not God. I know I'm not. And, I think that what I want is to build and strengthen your relationship with him. How do you have a good December? Well, if you're going to, you're going to have to do it on purpose. Let me just give you great pieces of advice for December. Because every single month and every time period that has the potential for great success also has the potential for great disaster. You can live a month of great joy, or you can live a month that's going to create a lot of heartache. You have to make right decisions. Let me just give you good practical advice based on now these many years of ministry and just watching people during the holidays sometimes make some of the worst decisions of their life. Number one, let me say this, stay faithful to church. Amen. During the month of December, stay faithful to church. Don't allow yourself, allow yourself to excuse yourself from missing church because of the holiday events or travel plans or all of the other things. See, I believe one of the ways that we can achieve Christ-likeness is to be faithful in this matter of attending the house of the Lord. It said of Jesus in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Jesus had a custom of life. Whenever it was the day for God's people to gather and the time to gather with God's people, Jesus' custom was to be there. And if Jesus gave us the example of faithful church attendance, then we ought to take that example and understand the importance of it. People will be faithful for 11 months and the holidays come and all of a sudden they miss half the church services during the month of December. Folks, listen to me. If you want to have a successful December, stay faithful to church. Don't allow the busyness of the holidays to allow you to begin to excuse yourself for not being where you ought to be in the house of the Lord. Number two, stay faithful in your giving, giving of your tithes and offerings during the holiday season. It's always amazed me that church giving drops during the weeks prior to Christmas. I'll be honest with you, that just absolutely amazes me. I talked to one pastor, not from this area, from away from here, and he was talking to me about different things, and the month of December came up, and I said, I kind of dread it as a pastor in this regard. I hate that the giving drops. And he looked so shocked. And he looked at me and said, Pastor, he said, Brother Jerry, December at our church is one of the biggest giving months of the entire year. And I said, I'm going to fly you and have you preach at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Folks, let me just tell you this. I keep my finger on the pulse of this. That is not true of this church. And let me say this. Shame on us. I don't understand that somebody would take their tithes and offerings and withhold them to buy gifts for their family. It's one thing to rob from God. It's another thing to take the money you've robbed from God and give gifts from that money to your family. I think I'd be putting my family in danger of God's judgment if I did something like that. And so I'm just encouraging you, please stay faithful in your tithes and offerings. By the way, Christmas, whose birthday? Whose birthday is it in December? I mean, you know, wouldn't it be a strange birthday party if we had a birthday party for Dalton here and everybody came to Dalton's birthday party and they all brought gifts and they gave it and exchanged it amongst each other and they never gave him anything and it's his birthday? Wouldn't that be considered a little odd? Then I would think the one person that we ought to start with as far as giving would be to the Lord and to the things that are important to him and to his work. And so I agree with the brother about the way things ought to be, and I would pray that that would be different here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church this month. Stay faithful in your tithes and offerings. Be generous. And if anything, I'd give more or something extra special during the month we celebrate Jesus' birthday than I would withhold tithes and offerings. Number three, stay focused on Christ during the holiday season. Listen to me, folks. Santa Claus didn't die for your sins. Okay, and Rudolph wasn't the one that was born in a manger. Listen, don't X Christ out of Christmas. Does that fire you up as much as it fires me up every time I see it? So if I have a business and they've got that on their sign, I won't do business with that. I won't do business with them. Not if they're going to X Christ out of Christmas. I was in a restaurant the other day and they had a little bakery section and they had Christmas cookies, but that's not what they had as the sign behind it. Watch this. This is what they called the cookies, Christmas cookies. Seasonally shaped cookies. What? Somebody worked hard at that, man. I mean, they're working hard not to just have to write anywhere in their business the word Christmas. By the way, did you think that your pastor didn't say something to that establishment? You don't think I didn't have a little powwow with the manager there? I'm sorry, that offends me. They're worried about saying Christmas and offending somebody. What they need to be worried about is offending the Christians who understand the reason for the season, and the reason is a celebration of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's called Christmas. And so stay focused on Christ, okay? He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. I think Jesus Christ ought to have the preeminence during the holiday season. So make it about him. Number four, stay alert to soul winning opportunities during December. I found December to be one of the greatest months as far as winning people to Christ of any month. And I think also, by the way, watch this. Our visitation schedules may be adjusted a little bit during the holiday season. You know, in the past, if we've had Christmas fall on a Saturday, we've adjusted it to a different time during the week. But folks, we don't take the month of December and just quit going soul winning. I think that's wrong. I think you ought to ask yourself this also. Who will you be seeing? Now, think about this. Take a minute and let the Lord help you with this. Who will you be seeing over the holidays that needs the gospel? You know, our holiday gatherings and our travel plans and family coming, and our plans to visit family sometimes allows us the one-year opportunity that we have with certain people. And if I think I'd be tender about that. I think right here on December 1st, on this Sunday night, I would say, Lord, please lay upon my heart a family or a friend or a coworker who's lost, and let me use this holiday season as an opportunity to share with them the greatest gift that was ever given, the Lord Jesus Christ and his life on Calvary, his shed blood. The Bible says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We ought to be ready always, especially including the holiday season. So stay alert to soul winning opportunities during this month. Don't take a vacation from witnessing during the holidays. Number five, let me give you good practical advice here. Stay within a budget. Stay within a budget. Do not use credit to finance your Christmas. I want to say that again. Please, 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 please do not use credit to finance your Christmas. Christmas is not about things. It's about family. It's about friends. It's about a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And that's what it's about. And so, folks, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Some of you go overboard. Listen to me. You're going to do what you're going to do, but I'm going to say what I'm going to say, okay? But some of you go crazy. You're nuts. I mean, you're crazy. You're crazy. This overflow of gift and gift buying and gift exchanging and gift giving, and you put yourselves and your families on guilt trips to the extent where it's becoming insanity, the amount of money that we're buying and spending on things that people are, for the most part, going to look at once, use for a little bit, set off to the side next for a year or two, and then put in a garage sale somewhere. So I wish that everyone would just take a stop and consider this. I mean this. I'm not against you buying gifts, please. I'm not trying to play Scrooge tonight, all right? But I do want to caution you. There's folks that have buried themselves in credit card debt just because they're trying to keep up with everything and everybody, and it's foolish. You know what I want for Christmas? I just want to be with family. I want to see family. I want to eat some seasonally shaped cookies. You know, I want to listen to some good, wholesome Christmas carols. A fun evening is getting in the car and going around driving and seeing the lights that other people are paying the electric bill to. Amen, brother. I mean, I got a little gas money involved, but I'm not going to have to pay their December electric bill. Thank God for that. And have fun. But folks, listen, the best things are free in life. They really are. The best things are free. And so be careful. Just stay within a budget. So I'm not against it, but you ought to decide. Moms, dads, plan. This is what we're going to spend on Christmas. This is what we're going to spend. We're going to stay in our budget. We're not going to go beyond that. And we're not going to end up in January with the winter blues when all of these credit card bills come in, and then we spend the next 6-8 months trying to dig ourselves out of a hole of debt. Number six, stay sensitive to those whose Christmas joy will be mixed with sorrow. Stay sensitive to those whose Christmas joy will be mixed with sorrow. One of the things that you young people may have a little bit of trouble understanding at your age, because when you think of Christmas, you think of excitement and everything's happy and everything's joyful, and how could Christmas bring anything but joy? But the older that you get and the more that you've lived in life, you realize that all joy is mixed with sorrow. And you know what? Christmas brings, of course, great memories and a lot of things to smile about, but also for many people, it's also a difficult time as they remember people that have passed away and lost loved ones and folks that they wish they could one more time sit by the Christmas tree and have some time with. And so just understand that and be sensitive. If grandma is a little weepy near the holidays, and you don't quite understand that, just be especially tender to grandma. She's lived life longer than you, and she has a lot to smile about, but she's got some things that cause her some tears, and so that's the way it is. And so stay sensitive to those whose Christmas joy will be mixed with sorrow. Watch for those people and be especially kind and be careful during the Christmas season of what you say and how you say it. Because like I said, it's not all Christmas joy. Sometimes there's sorrow during this time of year. Number 7, stay aware of those who wish they could be home for Christmas but cannot. Think about that. Stay aware of those who wish they could be home for Christmas but cannot. And I think of our military, and I think of our soldiers, and I think special care and special prayer ought to be given for those men and women that are all around this globe, and they're standing guard, and they're putting their time in, and they're serving our country, and they volunteer to that. We have an all-volunteer army, all-volunteer army, United States of America. There's not one person that's in uniform that somebody forced to be in uniform. They're there because they've chose to be there. And you know what? They're there because it was important to them. But by the way, it ought to be appreciated by us. And so especially during the holiday season, remember, not everybody can be home. And stay aware of that. There's going to be some of our church family that's going to miss family. I said something to Brother Jack Gordon, and I was actually a little bit shocked. And I said, so where are you going tomorrow for Thanksgiving? I asked him this Wednesday night. So the kids all coming, or what's going on? He said, well, this year it's just going to be me and Penny. And I realized that the last of their children have been married now, and me and Cheryl have had those holidays, and most everybody else have had those holidays. And you know, there's your side of the family and their side of the family, and they got to spend some time at one place and yours at another time. You try to balance all that out. But there's going to be people that can't be home that wish they were home, and you'll miss them, and be aware of them. Of those people. I mean, we'll have Bible college students that may not even get a slip home for Christmas. We'll have people, like I said, in our military. So just be aware in your own personal life and your circle of influence of who those people are. And if you could do something especially nice for them, I think that would be a great thing. Number 8, consider an other's project for your family. Consider an other's project for your family. Now, again, this would be an exciting thing to do. And many of you, I talked to two different people that already told me they're planning on doing something as a family, a project for someone else. What are you talking about? Preacher, I'm talking about, you know what? You're going to be blessed, and you're going to have your family time, and you're going to exchange gifts, and all that's good and proper and good. But again, there's people that are not as blessed and people that do not have much. And if you stay especially sensitive and you are prayerful and mindful and watchful, I have no doubt that in the course of this month, God will bring across your path somebody that is not going to have much of a Christmas. And I think one of the greatest things you can do is a family, and make this a family project, is just decide, you know what, listen, kids, we are going to get you so many presents, and we're going to give each other so many presents, but we want to take a portion of our budget, and I want you to go shopping with me because there's a family. And by the way, we're going to do this secret. They're not going to know who done it, and we're going to go out, and we're going to buy gifts for them, and we're going to buy gifts for their kids, and they're not as blessed, and so we're going to make their Christmas a little more special. We'll sacrifice just a portion of our Christmas for them, and if you do that, you're teaching your children a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. And so I'm going to leave that between you and the Holy Spirit of God. I think you ought to be sensitive to that and watchful for that, and I have never, ever, ever had a December where I've asked the Lord, lay somebody on our hearts or help me to think of somebody or meet somebody that needs help, where usually we don't just do one, we do several, and we're glad to do that and blessed to do that. But I think it's one of the things that makes the month of December fantastic for the Rosses is that we do the secret others projects, and I think that's good. Jesus encouraged this in Luke chapter 6, verse 30, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. But as you would have men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love, watch this, if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them that do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. If you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. And I think one of the ways that you can practice pure religion during this time of the year is to be aware of the fatherless and to be aware of widows and be aware of the poor and do for them expecting nothing in return. That's pure religion. If you buy somebody a gift and you know they're going to buy you a gift, then can I say this? What thank have ye? I'm not against you doing it. I'm just saying that's no evidence of some type of great depth of Christianity. But if you find somebody who's incapable of returning a blessing and yet you choose to be a blessing to them and for them, what a great evidence of pure religion. Number nine, we got 10, so we're almost there. Spend time evaluating the month of December. Well, I want to encourage you to do this. Spend time evaluating 2013 and setting goals for 2014. I think one of the reasons that December is such a good month for me is that I never close out a December without going through and carefully evaluating the previous year and then setting specific goals for the next year. Like I said in our portion of scripture that we read in our text, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I think that you ought to take every major area of your life and you ought to break it into categories. And I think you ought to evaluate and grade how you've performed in those different areas. And then those that you've been successful in, you ought to be very thankful and praise the Lord for that success. Those areas that you look back and say, I really could have done better in, I think you should begin to plan how you're going to be more successful in these areas. See, folks, I don't think you go like this. You're not here and then you're here. I think what you do is you live life. And every year you learn how to live it a little better. And then you learn to live it how a little more successful. And you learn a little more successful. And you learn a little more successful. And like I said, at 52 years of age, if I'm still living a disaster of a life, then I haven't been very wise to learn year by year how to be successful and how to and learn from my failures and readjust and replan. And so I'm certainly going to spend the month of December looking back at this year and personally examining the areas that and evaluate very honestly before the Lord, evaluating where I've been successful and where I've fallen short, and then with God's strength and God's wisdom, begin to look ahead and plan for a more successful 2014 than I had in the previous year. Let me give you number 10. Watch this. Give Jesus the greatest gift you can ever give. Give him you. Give him you. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Three very successful and very financially well set wise men from the East came to the manger and they brought very, very precious gifts. You may say, preacher, I don't have a chest of gold. I don't have frankincense and myrrh to bring. No, but you've got something that Jesus wants more than any of those things. The greatest gift that you can give Jesus at Christmas time is to give him you. And I mean 100%. I don't mean holding back any. I don't mean I'm going to give him this, but not this part. I'm talking about lock, stock, and barrel. I'm talking about just giving him you. I think it's a great month to rededicate ourselves to the Lord. And just simply say, Lord, I'm going to put everything that I am and who I am and what I have and the talents and the resources that's within my reach, I want to give them afresh to you. And Lord, I want to be used in the upcoming year in a way that I've never been used before. I want to seek that higher ground. I want to press on. I want to go up. I want to do more for the Lord. I've never reached a plateau or a place where I could sit and feel like I could be comfortable and here's where I needed to be, and I finally made it, and I'll just put it on cruise control and get to the finish. I've never felt that. Every year of my life, I've always felt like, Lord, there's more. There's more. And I want to dare to trust God for more. I want God to use me in ways he's never used me before. I want to participate in things maybe that I've never participated in before. I want to try things and do things for the Lord. I want to be faithful in everything that he's called me to do. So why don't we on this very first day of December plan on purpose to live on purpose during this month so that at the end of this month, we don't look back and say, wow, what happened? Where'd that go? What a disaster. But instead, we can lay our head on our pillow on the 31st of December as we watch a new year clock in and say, Lord, you know what? This has been a wonderful, wonderful month. Thank you for allowing it to be so. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we have shared good counsel and good advice. Lord, help us. Lord, this month, to just have some sweet and blessed and unusual things happen in each and every person's life in this auditorium and in the life of their family. We pray for good things, dear God. We pray for blessed things. And Lord, we do ask, Lord, that you would help us to plan this month out in such a way so that we are principled in how we live it, planned in how we execute it. And Lord, that we would be able to experience what it means when the Bible says to redeem the time because the days are evil. Thank you for this wonderful time of year. And it is. It's just a wonderful time of year. May we learn to enjoy the sweet, simple things that come with Christmas time and during the month of December. May we be very soul sensitive. And Lord, may we be sensitive to the needs and the heartaches and the tears of others. And Lord, just help us to walk as best we can this month, the way that Jesus would walk it if he was in our shoes. Give us wisdom. We need it. Please, God, and discernment, we pray in Jesus' name.